Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Wild Adventures podcast. Today, you are going to get an episode where you will see a friendship in the making. This is the first time that I have talked to these lovely women. As Robin has said in her podcast, it was friendship at first type. So I really hope that you enjoy basically seeing our friendship unfold. It was a pleasure to talk to them. We actually talked for 3 hours, only recorded an hour and a half, and I can't even show all of that to you. But I hope you enjoy the unfolding and the craziness that is about to happen. So this interview is with Robin and Amy of the Love and Other Drugs podcast. If you haven't come across them already, or if you haven't seen me absolutely blasting their messages all over Instagram and Facebook, then please check your show notes because you will have a link to the Love and Other Drugs podcast and all of their social media platforms. So check them out, and I hope you enjoy our recording and the blossoming of a new and crazy friendship.
Wonderful.
It's so good to finally meet you.
Me too.
We've been so excited.
I had this family quiz before and I was like, right, you guys have got to go. I've got something else going on.
Did you win? How did you do?
No, I came in second. One of my cousins was really bloody too smart for her own good, to be honest. but my brother wasn't in on it today, so we had a chance to win. My brother.
Oh, that's good.
Is he super smart?
I don't know what it is. He just has a lot of general knowledge, like for the most random, bizarre shit. And so, yeah, he wins every week.
Like, good for a pub quiz, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's very good at it. It's highly annoying. But he couldn't join us this week because he was flying to Germany. So, I'm so excited to see your faces.
No. It's just kind of like come at a, it's just been really nice how this has kind of evolved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been exciting. And really, it's been nice to have someone that we can talk to that's on a level.
He's We've so just lovely. Left her, like, a review messaged. On your podcast as well.
You did?
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Genuinely enjoy it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's made me so happy. I need to check where these things are. I haven't even thought of that side of it yet.
You definitely do.
Thank you. Oh, you guys are so sweet. See, I knew we'd be best friends for a reason.
There we go. Insta friends for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So tell me about you guys. Give me the whole shebang.
I'm Robin. Hello. I'm 36. Work in IT with Amy.
Yeah.
I think I was just saying this to you like a little bit. I've grown up in a couple of different places. So, you know, whilst I live in northeast of England, my accent's a bit of transatlantic. So I grew up in Australia as well.
Yeah.
That's been like a bit of a journey. I moved back and forth so much. And I was saying before, like, episode 4 where you interview Martin Evans and you were talking about that sense of belonging and not really knowing or feeling like you've got roots anywhere, like I could so relate to that. Love traveling, and it's given me like inspiration though to become more impulsive. So I think what you were saying is that if somebody asked you to move to Tahiti, like, you just would. And it's that kind of, it's that vibe where you can just feel, well, like, yeah, sure, why not? Because, you know, I don't really have any major roots.
Exactly.
So, yeah, like it gives Lenda some really amazing adventures.
Yeah. I've been thinking about that a lot since the interview with Martin. Because I've lived in Scotland now for 8 years. On the 5th of July, I would have lived here for 8 years. And I'm like, that's almost as long as I lived in Africa, which is where I felt was home. And then living in Sweden was for much longer, but that was never home. But it's like now I finally reached that point where I'm like, okay, I'm actually okay with not having roots
yeah,
anywhere specific, yeah, and being able to travel, because actually being able to pick up your life and then go to a new city in a new country and get a whole new load of friends,
yeah,
like it's a new experience, is a new culture, and you kind of collect everything towards you. Now it's become like that in itself is almost your identity of being, yeah, able to do that, but then not, yeah, losing, totally, the friends that you've made along the way.
Friends. It's amazing that, yeah, you can do that.
And, yeah, and if you're absolutely, true friends, they'll be your friends no matter where you live.
Yeah. I mean, I went through to like, I've been in like therapy for like a couple of years because I've had such an unsettled life, right? And it's yeah, like, why am I so different? Why don't I fit in anywhere? And it's only taken me until like 2 years of paying through therapy to realize, yeah, actually, I don't really want to.
Yeah.
and this is actually can be a really good thing. So yeah, it's yeah, it's interesting. It's taken me a long time to get to that place, like you were saying, of accepting and really celebrating that being an option.
Yeah. I started taking therapy as well, and that's when it started changing my mindset as well. So the rule here is just go to therapy.
Go to therapy.
Therapy solves everything.
Spend your money. And even if you don't go with the outcome that you kind of hoped for, you'll end up coming to your own decisions that, yeah, you're fine anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Amy, tell us about you.
I am Amy. I'm 22 and I'm currently doing a pharmacy degree that I absolutely abhor. I hate it so much. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Like really.
So I'm 5 years in now and it's getting to the point where I just need to, yeah, get away. And I love South Shields. I'm from like a little town called South Shields and it's beautiful, but I think because it's so small and I have so much family around here, my escape in life is to just go on, yeah, holiday, which I've realized in the past couple of like years, I guess. So where you say you love to just like lift your family, like lift you up where you are and just go and like, mm, drop down. I can't massively do that because of like uni and work and, yeah, everything. So I'm very jealous that you can do that. But I think I have my little adventures where I can. So I failed one kind of semester of uni for like an exam that you had to get 100% on. And I did not get 100%. So I had to like pay for the, yeah, year round, but that I love that because it gave me like a whole 6 months, yeah, off of just everything. So I, whenever I get a bit done, like, so I found out I failed at like 10 a.m. in the morning, maybe, had a bit of a cry. My mom comes into the room and she was just like, Amy, we're just going to go out. And I was like, okay, that's fine. As I was just like crying my eyes out. So anyway, she leaves, comes back 2 hours later. I was like, Mom, I'm going to San Fran. I think I'm going to go here, here, and here. And then she was like, eh? And I was like, I think I just need, yeah, to get away. And then like, I just went on a solo travel of like 2 weeks to just like decompress and like, find yeah, friends, find other people, find other places where you can feel at home, even though, yeah, you're not necessarily where you call home. But yes, I work in IT with Robin as well. We both love that job. But we just thought it'd be nice to kind of talk about our relationships or my lack of relationships.
Yeah, so tell us about this podcast. I won't be launching this until after your first episode, but give us an overview of why you decided to start a podcast.
So it originally started on like an anxiety-fueled night where I just could not sleep. And I was like, do you know when you're like trying to go to sleep and then you just can't, so like you pick up your phone, and I was just like, my mind was wandering and I was thinking about the fact that I've never been loved, and then I was just like, you know what would be really cool, if like people could, if we could talk about this and like normalize everything and just kind of chat about it. So I messaged Robin and I was like, Robin, what do you think of this idea for
this was at podcast? 4 a.m. by the way. I will
yeah, oh, it was
yeah. You are a good friend.
Yeah. So my text was like, I was like, I really hope your phone is on do not disturb right now. Very sorry if it's not. But I was like, if I don't do this, I won't be able to get, yeah, to sleep. So I just kind of needed it out of my brain. So I thought, there we go, I'll send Robin. And then the next day she was like, how would you feel about me also doing this podcast? And I was like, yes. And that's kind of where it stemmed from.
Wow.
Yeah, we both got so many different, you know, experiences and life experiences and views that I just, I was saying to Amy earlier, because we've been trying to sort of pull together a really cool introductory episode before we launch on Wednesday. And I was just sort of saying that I tried blogging before.
Yeah.
And I was just, I love writing.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty good at writing, but I felt that when I was trying to blog, I felt that it was only getting part of my voice. And so I got a little bit disheartened with the whole thing. And then, you know, lockdown came. And then Amy had this wonderful 4 a.m. suggestion of doing a podcast. And it's been awesome because since then, I've, you know, we've discovered that podcasting is great because you can write, but you can also use your full voice. So, you know, I'm really nurturing that kind of need that I have to fully express myself. And you just, you know, you meet some really great people along the way, like you, Marlene. So it's just been really great so far. Like, it's been really a bit of a therapy through lockdown.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you were talking about therapy before, and I myself have never been to therapy yet. Probably should. But
this might be your therapy. Like, talking through
exactly.
Things on a
podcast. We've been talking about things.
Save yourself the money. We've been
Yeah. Where's our commission on all of
totally.
This?
But I just think, like, talking through everything, we've realized we've slowly been getting things off our chest that we've kind of maybe not realized we needed to. And we're hoping when we're saying this, people are going to be able to. Forgotten what the word is. Robin, help me out.
Express them. Relate. Identify. Relate. And I. Yeah.
Yes. She's my dictionary. relate and identify with what we're saying and maybe kind of find some even ground or common ground with us. Because as we say, we're so different. Where one of us lacks, the other one kind of seems to make
it. It's like the yin to my yang.
Aww.
Oh, so cute.
I'll cry. But yeah, it was kind of that when it's almost like when you find your voice and all of a sudden you're like, you don't hate parts of you that you've hated before, because it's like you're finally saying the things that you've always wanted to say.
It's been
so transformational. It's been insane.
We were talking about that earlier, weren't we, Ames? Like, I was saying that, you know, quite a long time ago, it was like a decade ago now, I was probably like in better shape and I felt a bit better about myself. And I'm not quite in that place at the moment. And I was saying to Amy that, you know, I've not seen friends for like 10 years, like good friends, because I've just hated how much I've changed. And like, you know, I feel like more negative about myself. And I just feel that whilst this podcast is, you know, audio, I am going to really start putting myself out a little bit more now, like through like Instagram stories or whatever, so people can actually see myself and Amy from now, like now and again. But I feel like it's really going to help me not hate those parts of myself. Like, it's a real journey, right?
Yeah.
We've both had that, haven't we? Like, we were talking about Instagram, and obviously Instagram is like a photo-based app. But me and Robin both hate our photos being taken. So we had to like slowly, like Rob put something on and then I was like, okay, cool. So I should probably do this, right? And she was like, just go at your pace. And I was like, yeah, but I probably should. And she was like, just work for you. So like we're both slowly like getting our faces familiar. Cause like on an Instagram photo, I will like post a photo of myself. But it's never normally just me. And it's never just like, oh, just doing this. It'll be like me at a party or me doing something with my friends. Yeah. Whereas with this one, it's a lot more chill. And it's just like, oh, sweet, just sat down to do this thing. Yeah. Like, want you to know about it. And I do. I just don't want you to see my face when you look on. But like, as I say, even now, I'm slowly starting to become a bit more comfortable with the idea of putting my face out there and people seeing
me. Because it's like, it's an authentic thing, isn't it? Like, I feel like having these sorts of podcasts that we have, it's a really authentic experience. So to not be able to then transfer that to sort of other areas of media and other forms of media, I'd again then start, I'd be feeling like I was with the blog. I'd be suppressing a part of myself. Mm-hmm. And I really want to be able to express myself fully through this thing. So
I had that. So 10 years ago-ish, 9 years ago, I was living in Perth in Australia.
And that's like where I was like the peak, where I was like fit, healthy, loved my body, everything was great. And then about, shit, how long ago? 7 years ago, I got diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome and my weight just ballooned and I gained like 40 kilos and just like hate my body, hate who I am, hate the way I look. So it's the same, like I'll put pictures up, but they're only in angles that I know are okay.
Yeah.
Or where my face doesn't look quite so chubby, or something like that. But then since doing the podcast again, it's almost like, well, I'm showing who I am through voice, and it's almost stripped away some of that self-hate. So it gives you more room to show other parts of who you are and be more comfortable with saying, okay, well, I've shown my voice and my personality. So maybe that can make up a little bit for the parts of me that I don't love so much, but I'm working on.
Yeah,
it's definitely freeing. And I think that because people are listening to our voices, people are knowing us for who we are rather than like random people that have maybe never met us before, just going onto our, like for me, my personal account, because we have separate accounts for our Insta. And it's nice to know that people are going to know me for me through my voice, but then also see that picture and link it to me.
Exactly.
In that, rather than just seeing like a photo of me and just, because you like, no matter, I don't care what anyone says, you judge what you see. Naturally, whether you say it out loud or what, like your head or your voice naturally comes out with something, whether that be good or bad or whatever. But I think it's nice to have different aspects of you drawn together for people to kind of really get to know who you are.
I can definitely feel myself not caring as much. Like this is sort of like who I am. I am what I am now. And it's actually just starting to feel good. Or, you know, those years of suppressing things that I haven't liked about myself. Like it's actually just starting to feel good. And I don't care as much as I did. Like I really don't. So like this is so far, I mean, we're still quite young into it, you know, but it's pretty exciting.
Do you guys also feel that you've kind of been pushed onto this path and all of a sudden life seems like it's turning out the way it's supposed to turn out?
So we have a bit of saying at the moment, which is timing is everything. And it originally came from Robin's gut, didn't it? Where we had these microphones and Robin is friends with a different podcaster. And we were asking him about like what microphone he uses. And he said this like model of a mic that I believe you have as well. And he was like, yes, this one. So Robin was like, I really think we should get this one. And we both said that we really want to put our heart and soul into everything that we're doing on here and not do anything half-assed, just to really make sure that we've done everything we can to make it the best experience for our listeners. And one of those was the mics, and they weren't in stock.
They sold out. I'm not kidding. The actual store, Amazon, wherever, like just nowhere.
Every single third-party vendor.
Because of the sort of coronavirus situation, I think obviously manufacturing had maybe stopped, or they just didn't have stuff. There was just nothing. Like, no, we wanted to start this podcast and the mics that we wanted just weren't there.
Oh, no.
So then I was like, okay, it's literally not even given us a delivery time. Let's just kind of get one that's still by the same people, still known to be really good, but just not as good. And Robin was like, no, I've got a feeling. She was like, I've got a feeling, just give it time. And then 2 days later, they were all out of stock literally everywhere, because we were sitting on one, there was one color that neither of us particularly liked at all.
It's important because you're going to be staring at it for ages.
Yeah, right? And then even them went out of stock and we were like, Robin, what have you done? And then slowly, the next day, I think after that happened, Robin was like, just wait, I've got a good feeling. And then she messaged me and she was like, right, there's two of the color that we wanted in stock. Go now.
Two mics. And it just felt like it was totally meant to be. And great.
Then, since then, it's just been timing is everything.
Yeah, well, say timing is everything. I definitely do agree with that. Amy got her mic first. And so I was waiting very patiently from the delivery service for my microphone too. And then I got a notification on my phone saying that it's been delivered. So I was like, oh, really? Just didn't even hear a knock at the door or anything, but maybe they put it in a safe place.
Yeah.
And I checked the app, and with the app, they can take a picture of where they have left it. And they'd taken a picture of a shed it's not on my property. I had no idea where this shed was. And so I'm anxiety texting Amy going, the hell, like, I, you know, lots of choice language. Where the hell is this? Is this microphone? Like, there's none in stock now. And the one that I do have that's mine that I've paid for has gone to this random shed. So I thought maybe they've delivered it to a neighbor by mistake. I live in a bit of a rural place, so it can be quite difficult to find. I got in my car. This is how badly I wanted to do it. Got in my car and I drove around the area trying to see this shed, trying to try knock on the door and to get this microphone and no such luck. I rang the company, but then it turns out the next day, this random place that it got delivered to, which is in my area, but it was quite sort of at the other side. Mm. This lady got the note through, and she'd found this microphone in her shed, and she actually came and delivered it herself to my door. And I was just like, thank you.
And only then did I tell Robin that I'd also actually had my mic with me, because she was panicking so much. I was like, I can't tell you. Because I don't want you to be like, oh, fantastic. So it's just mine. So then I was just like, it's cool. And she was like, oh. So yeah, I didn't tell you for a little while.
She was being a good friend because I was not very chill that day. but we have them. And, you know, since then it's been awesome. We just feel like we're learning so much. There's so much. It's such an easy thing to set up. But there's so much to take in at the same time about things that you can do and to make it more engaging. And it's been fun.
So what are the biggest things that you've kind of learned so far in the journey?
About ourselves or about...
Ooh, that's a good question. Yeah, let's go with that. About yourselves.
I think you just nominated yourself there, Aim. So over to you.
I am... I don't know how to describe it. I laugh things off, don't I, Rose?
Yeah.
Anything that is said, anything that happens, I am just like, even if I'm really upset, I will laugh it off. And now I've started to really go into, like, when we've been talking, I've been deep diving into myself, I guess, and noticed quite a lot about me. It was Rob that made me realize I've never been in a relationship before. And I was having a bit of a problem with one of my friends. So I was talking to Rob about it. And she was just like, do you think this is because maybe... you've not had a relationship, so you put everything into your friendships, and this is why, like, you really hold so much in these friendships that when someone lets you down, it was just like, oh my gosh, it's because I've never had that one person who's like my person, because I'm so petrified of relationships. I've realized that I put everything into my friendship groups. So a massive thing for me that I've learned is I am terrified of dating. I think that's my biggest one. And that because of that, I kind of like have subconsciously put everything else into my other relationship.
I'm the same. So if you're the kettle, I'll be the pot. I've got the same issues. Don't worry.
I have the opposite issue. I go for all the wrong people. Like I would probably sort of, Amy describes me as a bit of a Tinder veteran. Like I've been on so many dates. I haven't had lots of boyfriends, but I've dated a lot. And I think this goes back to like things in childhood. So my parents divorced and then I was very close to my dad. So I was missing that kind of male in my life. And I think I've subconsciously been trying to sort of replace that. So I've gone the other way and I've dated like a lot of people, and I've had some really great experiences and I've had some absolute disasters. But yeah, so we feel like, watch this space for some future content on that. But yeah, like I think I've just learned that I've one, dated a lot, and two, I think I haven't had a lot of hobbies. So I've had all of these interests and like writing, and I love space, and I love all these different things. And I've never really, whilst I like them, I've never really done anything about it. And I don't know whether mm-hmm. that sort of come down as like a fear of failure, or it, you know, maybe even sometimes a fear of enjoyment, because I've had such an anxiety fueled life that it just feels weird to even enjoy something sometimes. But
I recognize that. Yeah.
Like it's a very weird thing to say, a bit of a paradox, but I feel like for me, I've learned that I've been worried too much about things and I haven't had hobbies. And this for me has been a bit of a revelation in terms of having a creative outlet. And it's mm-hmm. made me realize that, this is something I really enjoy for me. So mm-hmm. putting like boy stuff aside, this is something that I feel like is all about me and is all about Amy, you know, like it's something that I can enjoy independent of men, independent of my job. It's something that I can be really passionate about. So that's been like my favorite thing so far, to discover that I've actually got this passion, and for the first time I'm doing something about it.
Yeah. Oh, that's so nice to hear.
I love that. Yeah.
Oh. Very good. I've had one serious long-term boyfriend that lasted 5.5 years.
What is it? Wow. Yeah, that's
like the only one I've had. And it ended 2 years ago because I kicked him out. Because I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't do it. He was a lovely, lovely man, and I wish him all the best. I really hope he finds happiness, but us together just wasn't good. And then I've dated guys since then, but I've got this fear of the third date now, because I feel like after the third date, everything goes to hell.
Oh, Amy's having a revelation here. I can see her.
Yeah.
We have a thing where we talk about topics, and where we just shout topic at each other if we're in the middle of talking about something. And one of our topics is the third date, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It's terrible.
That we've written down.
I've got such a fear of the third date. And I've taken to dating guys that live far too far away from me. Like the last two guys I dated, one lives in the other lived in Oban. Like there is no chance of us actually seeing each other on a regular basis. So we would like, and they both lasted for like 3 months.
I thought you were going to say 2 days.
Well, the dates lasted a few days.
Okay.
But it was like, once it reaches that third date episode section, after that, it just like stops. And then I get ghosted, and I hate it. That's the one thing I hate, is being ghosted, because when I turn someone down, I text and I say, look, it's not working. I'm really, really sorry. The last guy I did that to, we went on one date. We're actually really good friends now. And I told him this last week. I was like, that whole weekend, I just bawled my eyes out because I felt like such a bitch for like saying, I'm sorry, but I can't do it. And I felt so bad, but he's so amazing.
It's such a brave thing to do. Like it's actually a really brave thing to do. And it's great having this conversation, because everything that you're saying, we've been talking about and one of our episodes is about ghosting and being ghosted, but also being the ghostee, being the ghost, you know, the one that, you know, ghoster, the one that, you know, initiates the ghost and sets that off. We've been talking about that like a lot, and we definitely agree that it's the best thing that you can possibly do for someone is to just be honest, because situations where I haven't been, and I've kind of just said, you know, oh, I'm not really like ready for a relationship. You know, I've used like a go-to response, not really ready for a relationship right now. And it kind of leaves some people with a bit of hope that, okay, well, she's not ready right now, but
maybe one day
will be in the future. And they still kind of hang on to that a bit. And I think that the nicest and fairest thing that you can do to someone is just be like, look, you are so awesome. Just don't feel we're like compatible romantically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause hand on heart, I've done that to someone. And I still feel awful about it now. When I was like 17, I was dating this guy and we were really close and we were getting on so well, but we were getting on as friends. Yeah. and it was only ever friends. And he really liked me and he was like texting me all this stuff. And I was like, cool. But I'm not feeling it. But I didn't know what to say. I was 17. He was like 20, maybe. And so there was like an age gap. And I was just like, look. And I just never found him attractive. And I thought that was an insult, and it's not. And I've realized over time that that's just like, we don't have that chemistry. I'm not saying you are not a good looking person. I'm just saying I'm not attracted to you in that way that I should be. Like, I don't want to rip your clothes off.
Exactly. Oh, I'm so glad. I've had this discussion with my mother. I'm like, but mom, I just didn't want to rip his clothes off. And she goes, but attraction grows with time. I was like, no, it doesn't.
Oh, no. It does, but you grows, do. You but need attraction something. Does not. Oh my God, yes. So I told him, I was like, oh, I'm just going through this time and I should probably like just take a step back. I don't think we should do it anymore. And then he still kept messaging me. And then I had to be like, look, I just don't think this is a good idea. We just need to stop. And then he was just like, I've seen the way you look at me. I know you want me. Wow. And then, And he was like, I'll wait for as long as you need until you realize you love me. And then I just didn't know what to do. So he's still waiting.
I don't know how.
But like, that's that thing. I just wish I'd come out and just said, look, I don't find you attractive. And then that could have squashed everything. Yeah. So it is difficult. Is so but I... the times when you look back and you're just like I never ghosted him. I did say no, because I couldn't ghost someone, because that is where my anxiety is held. When someone doesn't reply to me, I'm like, what have I done? What have I said?
Micromanage all the
red receipts. I bloody hate those non-responded to blue ticks or red receipts. Like, God, yeah, God, I hate it.
That
he's not
cool. Gonna do it. Not cool. Yeah,
I've had a couple of times where someone's like hurt my feelings, and then I've written, I said, look, this is really, really hard for, and it is, my God, have I been told off by my friends for not telling them when they've hurt my feelings. So lately, like in the last 2 years, I've really been working on my ability to open up. It's so hard. And then I'm like, okay, look, this is really hard for me, but you really hurt my feelings during X, Y, and Z. And you send it, and you've been agonizing over this text message, right? Agonizing over showing part of you and opening up to someone. And then they read it, and they don't answer. And you're like, okay.
Yeah. This happened to me for 3 days. Someone didn't reply to me for 3 days. It's so hard.
And
it was a friend.
It's terrible, because then you sit there and you're like, was I too soft? Was I like too into myself? Maybe they
are my feelings invalid.
Maybe they're going through shit, and actually I'm just being a terrible human being. By
am I being needy? Now I'm just being a burden. I must be being a burden.
Exactly.
I must text them again to tell them I don't mean to be a burden.
Yeah, I'm very sorry about everything. I didn't mean it. But I did.
Yeah, that's been my biggest lesson is, okay, if someone really cares about you and they read that, they will come back and say, look, I'm really sorry, I'm struggling at the minute. But when they ghost you and they don't answer, then you're like, well,
yeah,
I think of that.
Oh my
yeah,
God.
Or even just like,
yep,
look, that kind of upset me a bit. Or just like, I appreciate what you're saying. Can we take a few days? Or just an acknowledgement. Yeah. That's
an acknowledgement.
An acknowledgement, apart from a thumbs up, then I'd be right over to you.
That just like launches you into crazy fat shit, angry
thumbs
mode.
Up. No thumbs up and no K, full stop.
Ooh, they are painful.
Mom did that to me. I didn't think that was a thing anymore, and someone did that to me like 2 weeks ago. And I was like, excuse me?
Yeah. I think the best thing that's ever happened to me is someone had ghosted me, and I was like head over heels for this person. And then like 2 months later, they wrote back. And they were like, look, I'm really, really sorry. You are a ray of sunshine. You're absolutely amazing. But actually, I'm really, really struggling with depression. And I was like, okay. I'm all right then. And all of the anger I had towards him just disappeared like that. Because, okay, he said sorry. I can forgive him because he's shown that he's a man and he's come back. And now we're friends. And it's fine. Yeah. Like, I'll never be able to go down that route again. But learned a valuable lesson. Like, always open up, say yes when they hurt you. And if they can't acknowledge it, then they are not worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, fully agree.
Yeah, I had a realization not too long ago. And it was following like me being ghosted for like 2 months by someone that like I was incredibly close to. And that definitely hit some realization with me. Yeah. And it's just like, it took me a while, but I was like, look, not worth it. Like, it's not worth it when you're putting so much physical energy into something and just getting nothing in return, because then it bounces back and it hits you twice as hard.
Yeah, and energy.
And I think that's something I've really started to value. Mutual,
whether it's in relationships or friendships, you know, energy needs to just have like a natural mutual flow. And if you find that you're drained from a friendship or drained from a relationship, then the balance needs to be addressed for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So the one thing that I learned this week, time does not exist anymore. At some point in the last 14 days, I realized that I've also got this like control issue where, because of our backgrounds and like everything that happened during like childhood, moving, yada, yada, all of that stuff, I realized that I have this need to constantly feel like I'm strong and I can't give away any of my strength. So I sit there and I go, okay, I really want to date someone or be with someone that is strong and that will support me.
Oh my God, yes.
Really be that pillar, right?
Yes.
So that's what you look for. And then you end up dating someone thinking, okay, they are going to be like my strength. But then you realize they're not strong. They are childish. Yeah. And so this week I was talking to a friend. I was like, why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep dating someone that I think is strong and will be that like strength? And she goes, because you still need to be in control. Like, you still need to feel like you're the one in control. So you fool guys that aren't strong, because actually, if they were strong, that means giving up your strength. Not for the worse, like, not in a sense of giving up who I am, but actually acknowledging that there's someone else that can look after you. And together you become stronger. And like, I suppose like your friendship, right? You've got like, where one person lacks, the other person makes up for. Putting that into a relationship, and I was like, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense.
It's so funny when you're talking to someone and then in a sentence they wrap up everything that you've ever not realized, and you're just
I think it's okay. Like, you know, the student or the has now become, or the client has now become the therapist.
Yes. But it's like giving up. It's almost like I don't want to show when I'm weak, so I can't fall for anyone that would be okay with seeing me feeling weak.
It's vulnerable. Yes. I'm the same. Like, I've always associated vulnerability with weakness.
Yeah,
that for me is like a relationship that they have to.
I think that's common. I think a lot of people feel that way.
I feel I've learned so much is that to be vulnerable, to really get in touch with your feelings, you know, hold yourself accountable, hold other people accountable, setting boundaries. And I've discovered that vulnerability is absolute strength. Like, anyone that can at least try and shine a little bit of light onto their own vulnerability, it's not weakness. Like, it's a really strong, empowering feeling. But I'm still not there yet myself either, Marlene. Like, I'm still on that road, and I'm like,
But it's like, having the knowledge now allows you to no longer date guys that you know are just going to screw you over.
Yes.
I think that's the difference now. My friend was telling me about someone that had texted her on Tinder and was like, should we just go to the hotel? And I was like, no. Like, I'm not up for that anymore. Like, if I got a text like that, I would be kicking the guy's ass. Like, she's like, no, be a gentleman. I deserve dinner and drinks before the hotel. Thank you very much.
100%. That's why I struggle with Tinder. I have a bit of an issue where I will download a dating app, and it's, I mean, I say an issue, it's been 3 times now, and I'll download it and I'll be like, yeah, I'm ready for love. Yep. So ready for this. And then like, I downloaded Tinder twice and Hinge once. I thought Hinge,
I thought that would be good for me.
Yeah, yeah, me too. But then they still just like the photos. And I'm like, champion, now I've got to say something to you. Or like on Tinder, it'll be like, hey. And then I'll just like, dick pic. Oof, and I'm like, hello. Not what I'm about.
I've actually told guys before, hello? Like they've been like, oh, do you want to see the package? I was like, until I know what it does, no.
Yeah, that would be a negative, thank you.
Yeah, like if you know what it does, then it's like, ooh, okay, I know what you're thinking about now. But if you don't know what it does, it does nothing for me. There is no context for this picture.
It's not sexy when you swipe on someone's face and then instead of hello or like, how are you, or here's a fun fact about me, you know, something. It's just like, here's me doing.
Yeah. This is why I put so much faith in Hinge. Because I thought, well, finally, somebody can comment on my profile and my bio and my personality. Yeah. And no.
I tried Hinge the last dating round I tried. I was on match.com. I got Tinder. I tried Bumble. Again. I don't like Bumble. Tried Hinge. So I was on Hinge. I was like, I like the way it looks. Like from a UX perspective, it's really handy. It's really clean. It looks really modern. I really like this. Yeah. And then you start discussions with people, but then like one was depressed and was like, I don't really care about women right now. Like I'm just doing my own thing. I was like, why the fuck are you on Hinge? And then start talking to one guy, really hit it on, had a really good conversation. And then like 3 days later, it's like, no, I'm really still stuck up on my ex. I'm like, oh, fuck.
I deleted
Hinge after 3 hours.
Aren't there? Like there's the categories of people who are still hung up on their ex and they're just browsing to get some kind of ego boost to stop them from feeling like shit. There's the people that are still in relationships, you know, there's the ghosters, there's the people that want to just hang out with you for one night in the hotel because they're just traveling through. Like, you know, it's just a world.
Where are the genuine people that actually want to date and actually want to get to know
you? You tell me, Marlene. Because I ain't found any. Yeah, this is my thing. I think the longest I've had a date an app is about 18 hours. That was because I realized that I hate talking to people for the first time. Over text, because I'm so awkward. Yeah. I'm so incredibly awkward the first time I ever meet someone, my first impression of someone. Robin's nodding because it's awful. And so like, if I say like, if it was just me and you on this chat, Marlene, I would be a lot less calm. But because I know Robin's here, and if I start to get awkward, she can zoom and swoop it. So I just need I need like a third wheel on my date map. That can like make up for me.
Maybe
when I start to feel a bit weird.
But maybe
it could be like our thing. All right. So if we want to branch out from podcasting after we become, you know, super famous with that, we should design a dating app called The Third Wheel. You've heard it here first, copyrighted.
Yes. Copyright.
And then that can be people that can just, they can have that extra person there for support, for sure. Like
exactly.
Yeah, because I feel fine now, but I promise you, I would be like necking pints of water to try and keep my anxiety down if Robin wasn't here. So it's that kind of thing where it's great to, like, I get to a point where I'm like, sorry, I can't talk to you because I have no interest in talking to you. And then I feel really bad because I've just like up and deleted all my date naps after these people being like, yeah, we like you.
Ghost,
but I can't
alert,
do it.
Ghoster alert.
And I think it's my fear of being ghosted or my fear of someone not wanting to, someone, if I see someone, I'm like, oh my God, yes, great. You're intelligent, you're this, you're that, like you're everything I'm after. And then he's like, yeah, but I don't want you. And I'm like,
yeah, what's wrong with me?
So I think that's why I struggle with my date naps and stuff like that.
I think I was thinking about it the other day. Do I want to go back on the dating apps? And I just got like red warning above my head going, for the love of God, do not do that again.
No one has been good though. The one thing I would say about I don't know if other apps do it, maybe they do now, but Tinder, for example, if you have Tinder Plus, you can put yourself in other cities in the world.
So I
used to do that sometimes because I'm sick of English men. They're just like, people people in the Northeast, like, they just don't get me. They just don't give a shit. They just care about football and drinking. They just don't get me at all. So I'm going to put myself in Texas because I'm going to go find, I'm going to go talk to someone that's going to get me. Or I'm going to go put myself.
He's going to have a sexy accent. Like, and he's going to offer me to write his Texas.
So I would sometimes do that. But then it would be bad, right? Because, and I didn't think about this, I'd be like messaging a guy and I'd be like, yes, he is going to be my new husband, my new like Matthew McConaughey kind of guy. This is going to be fine. You know, he's thousands of miles away. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And then you tell him that you're from the UK and he's invested this time and he's just like, well, I've got no intention of like meeting you, or like this has just been like an intent, like a total waste of time. You know, it can get some people's like hopes up sometimes if you're not quite honest about where you
see
I
am different with that, because my nickname in my friendship group is Miss International and is now translated into work as Miss International actually, and that's because I have such a fear, I think this going into another fear of dating, that I am petrified that I go out with a guy and then he knows someone I know from when I was younger or like something like that. And I'm just so scared of ties. And Robin's rolling her eyes at me because I've never told her this one before.
This happening is like...
Yeah, but like, it's my luck. Do you know what I mean? So then I'm like petrified. So then I'm just like, I won't go on Tinder because this man that I hated in primary school may come across my profile and whatever. I don't even know, right? But anyway, so now when I go on holiday, I'm just like, you sir, over here. Hello. I'm Annie.
I love it. But yeah, the like seeing someone that you know, that's happened to me twice. So it happened once and it was one of the first guys I ever dated when I moved to Scotland and who kind of broke my heart. His brother came up on it. And I had one of those moments, I wish someone had filmed this. I had one of those moments where I completely freaked out, where I screamed, closed the app, chucked my phone away, and then like stared at it like it was a ghost. I was like, oh my God, like, is he still going to be on it when I open that app again? I don't think I can handle that. I can't see his face. So the other thing, Robin, you had said Texas, like the men in Texas, and I assume it's because of that Southern charm, right?
Oh, if all they have to do is call me ma'am.
Yes.
Can I buy you a drink, ma'am? Yes, you can. You can do whatever you want to me. Just call me ma'am. I friggin' love it.
I need to go.
I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I've had this thing in my head lately now where basically I've decided that Southern Hemisphere men are the way to go because they're the ones that have proper manners.
Yes.
Of like opening doors, calling you ma'am, not being a complete dick.
Yes.
Northern Hemisphere men are just
I agree so much, like even with I'm obsessed with America, like I love it. Even the difference, so going to Austin, it's such a cosmopolitan city, so you're going to meet lots of different people from different parts of America and the world. You know, and I was in a bar one night with some of the people that I'd met at the hostel. And there was a group of guys that had flown in from New York and they were already cool and had like really great accents, but the difference between them and like Southern hospitality almost, you could just tell how completely different they were, you know, and it could have just been this group of men in general. So I don't want to generalize like the entire, you know, New York population, but they were just quite a bit more pretentious. And they just didn't have as much care for other people as they did themselves. Yeah. But like the Southern men, are the ones that I've come across for sure in the South, are very chivalrous. I think they're really brought up to be quite, you know, the majority of them are brought up to be quite respectful. Like, you know, I've never been on a date with someone where they would like pull my chair out or hold the door open for me. Or like, it was just like, whoa,
My dream is for a car door to be open for me,
right?
Me to sit in.
It's such but a I think small this is thing. My problem. It's so charming, but having someone like open your door it seems so charming and nice. It's like they actually care about your enjoyment.
And attentive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were saying this about one of our, we did like an episode about turn-ons and turn-offs, and one of our turn-ons is just someone being like generous and yes. thoughtful without a second thought. And I think that's the appeal with yeah. Southern guys.
Yeah.
Because I think in my mind especially, I do think they're going to like open the door. I mean, they can call me mom till yeah. the sun goes down. All about
all,
that.
All about.
But yeah, those kind of things, that respect, it just makes a world of
That's
difference.
That's what it is, respect. I don't know what it is either. I just get the impression that Southern Hemisphere guys, like they think of, they think of family. It's like they're more family orientated yeah. as well. And it's the whole respect your elders and.
Yeah, they've got a lot yes. more, I would say, traditional values.
Yes, you know, that's a good way to put it.
Driven. Like, you know, yeah. be nice to women, respect your mom, like all that kind of stuff. And it yeah, like, and I'm sure there's people in the South that, you know, are like that, but
yeah, and vice versa. I definitely
agree, like the people from the Southern sort of hemisphere, that they're just a different. I think that's with Tinder Plus. I think that's why I would just put myself there, because
yeah.
I just wasn't getting anywhere, like with people yep. in the Northeast. I pretend that I live in Texas because I just want to talk
play
good
my
guys.
Pay for my plane and I will see yep. you soon.
Yeah, where are the sugar daddies in all of this?
Yeah, that's definitely another story. Like, I mean, because yeah, sugar daddies. I haven't had a sugar daddy, but I've absolutely contemplated the idea. Like, yep. you know, just for sure. Just get so
I
sick of stuff. And
thing.
You're just like, right, well, I just want someone to just take care of me then. Like, because I can't meet anyone that's going to fulfill any of these needs. So I'd rather just someone just like, I don't know, paid it.
Can pay for your plane to go to Texas to meet your lover.
Yep.
Why not?
A week or so, yep. fly back.
My grandmother was so funny. She, the last time I saw her, I said, you know what, Gran, I've just decided I'm going to marry for money first, and maybe I'll marry for money the second time, but definitely for money first. And she looked at me all aghast and she goes, Marlene, but for both at the same time. Thanks, Gran.
Wise. What a wise awesome. Woman.
And she's a woman that's still at like age of 94 reads romance novels. And I found this out and it's like the best thing I've ever found out.
I'm such a romance novelist. Yeah. I'll show you my bookcase if I can. Oh my god, there's my messy room. He has all yep. of my, like, to the point where there's romance novels on romance novels because I've no longer got room. I had to buy a Kindle to then read, because I read for pleasure. So I'll download a book, I'll blitz it in a night, and then I'll get rid of it. And I was like, I can't keep buying paperbacks to read a book for a night. So I'll buy the Kindle version. If I love the book, I'll then put it on my...
I do that as well, yeah.
Bookcase. That's a good idea.
I've done that before.
Yeah. And then another thing in Texas is my favorite author lives in Texas.
Who's your favorite author?
So when we go to Texas, she's called Colleen Hoover. And I absolutely love her, everything about her. Her books are romance with a bit of a difference. And they're so... She just says some things and it's just like...
So the funniest thing happens when I read romance novels is, and no one else ever has this happen, but this is how I now distinguish what true love will be like that bone melting true love. I will get this feeling and my wrist bones start tingling. Like I'll be reading a book and my wrist bones start tingling when it's like really sappy love and other stuff.
That really gets your wrist bones.
Tingly sensation.
Like, weird. Like I get this, like it tingles in like my wrist bones and like up my arms.
That's insane.
Gosh, I love that. That's so amazing. So weird.
And it's so weird, but that's now how I've distinguished. Okay, when I meet the right person, whatever that means, and however many there are out there, my wrist bones are going to tingle at the most opportune moment to tell me this is the one. No need to keep fighting.
But then I think books have given me an unrealistic expectation of men.
Not to mention all of those heart like Hallmark movies and TV shows.
It's just been like, yeah. I wouldn't even. I don't know what. I'm
false
happy
pretenses.
To be brainwashed. No, just
Me too.
We all love the southern men. So, you know, if it's brainwashed and it's not real, whatever. Like,
I don't care. I'm happy to live in that world and see what else comes up. It's fine. Same. So I can't wait to hear more of your episodes. And so what is Wednesdays about? What's the tagline for Wednesday's episode?
So we're dropping three, aren't we? Do you want to?
Three in a day?
I feel like,
yes, because it's our exciting launch. So we thought we'd give three in a row and then build weekly after that.
I'm going to get no work done on Wednesday. Sorry, Dad. Yes,
binge away. We've decided today that we're going to do a bit of a prequel. So we're going to do like an intro kind of thing to who we are. And maybe it's a bit like this, you know, we're just going to talk about what we're into, what inspires us and all that kind of stuff. And then we're going to sort of go into like the solid episodes. And so we talked a little bit today about turn-ons and turn-offs. That's going to be our first episode that we're going to drop. I know, very excited. And then Amy, do you want to tell us about the others that we've got on in the mix as well?
The second one, which we recorded yesterday, which I've already forgotten about, is our addictions that we've picked up through like lockdown, isn't it? And I'll show you one of mine, which is a bit of bit of a funny one, is number one this,
nice.
And number two this, which are literally like grabbing distance wherever I go, of chocolate spread and adult juice or diluted juice.
Love it.
Adult juice sometimes sounds a bit different.
Yeah, that's called business juice. It comes in a bottle with a cork.
Yeah.
So stuff like that, whereas we've slowly, since we've got time to ourselves, what we've started doing without quite realizing. So if I get a bit peckish now, it's just like a spoonful of chocolate spread, and it's just by my bed or it's on the desk. And that's one of my addictions that I've currently had. But that's our second one that we're going to release. And our third one we're about to record today, I believe.
So after we finish with this, I don't want to even leave this because I'm having so much fun.
You don't have to. Yeah, we can keep talking. I am happy. Yeah. I will keep
going. 24-hour episode.
I hope you enjoyed listening to that as much as we enjoyed actually making it. Just a little reminder that all of the websites and all of the links to the Love and Other Drugs podcast can be found in the show notes. If you did enjoy the episode, which I hope you did, then please leave a review wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. And check back in with us again next Friday for a new episode. Happy weekend!